May God, who raised Jesus from the dead, through the life-giving Holy Spirit, touch and heal our hearts through the proclamation of the word and sharing of bread this day. Amen. When one puts their heart into something that is then taken away, changed, or denied, it is a painful experience. A little over a year ago, Wendell and I had put our hearts into an opportunity to travel to the Holy Land under the direction and guidance of Pastor Nick Doversberger. Nick is someone for whom I have much respect and admiration, and the opportunity to travel with him to a place he had been often and knew well was something to which I had looked forward. Thus, when we received word that the trip had been canceled because too few people had committed to going, my heart sank. I was so disappointed. It was a setback, and it took some time to recover to the point of seeing a way forward. As most of you know, we were fortunate to be able to connect with a different group under a leader whom we didn't know, Pastor Kurt Zieske, but who proved to also be an experienced, capable guide. You all know, without me telling you, that life is filled with disappointments. Some are merely temporary setbacks. Others are devastating losses from which it takes many years to recover. And some people's hearts are so broken by grief that healing eludes them. In those cases, people actually lose heart. The importance of the heart is touched upon in all three of our scripture readings today. In the recording of Peter's sermon in the book of Acts, we are told that upon hearing Peter's words, the people were cut to the heart. The writer of 1 Peter encourages his readers to love one another deeply from the heart. And finally, in today's gospel reading from Luke, Jesus accuses the two disciples in the story of being slow of heart. And they themselves later say to one another, "Were not our hearts burning within us while Jesus was talking to us, opening the scriptures to us?" For the past couple of years, I have had a quote taped to my office door. It is from the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., and states, "We must accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope." This might be an apt description of the experience of the two disciples of Jesus who we encounter traveling the road to and from a place called Emmaus. When we first meet them, we might use the words of the Easter hymn, "Now the Green Blade Rises," to describe them. Their hearts are wintry, grieving, and in pain. In the midst of their confusion and pondering of the events of Jesus' crucifixion, death, and reported resurrection, they are met by a stranger that is revealed to us, the readers, as Jesus, but they initially respond to him as an unknown traveling companion. Jesus makes an inquiry about the topic of their conversation. When he appears to them, unaware of what has happened, they are literally stopped in their tracks. At this point, they take a bold step in continuing, by being vulnerable and honest with this stranger, not only by sharing their sadness, but by confessing to him their disappointment that the one they had hoped was to redeem Israel had been crucified. At this point, they confess to having heard the astounding news of Jesus' resurrection. But they don't yet seem to know what this means for them or for others. They need the significance of Jesus' resurrection to be interpreted for them. And that's exactly what Jesus does. He shows how the Old Testament scriptures point to his suffering, death, and resurrection. Faithful interpreters of the Bible have been doing the same ever since that time. One thing I have been taught is to look for the way scripture points to Christ. Martin Luther once said that scripture is like the manger in which the infant Jesus was placed. It is that which holds Christ. Yet just hearing the word and its interpretation is still not quite enough for these two disciples from Emmaus. One more thing is necessary. Though Jesus was the one that invited himself into their conversation earlier, they are now the ones to extend an invitation. Just as it appears Jesus would go ahead of them once they have reached their destination, they offer hospitality. "Stay with us," they say, "because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So Jesus stays with them. Then, as good hosts do, they share their bread with him. The gift they receive in return is when resurrection for them becomes visible, meaningful, and transformative. And what is that gift? It is blessing. Jesus takes the bread that they had given him, blesses it, breaks it, and gives it back to them. In the breaking of the bread, they have been blessed with Jesus' presence, and nothing more is needed. The same is true for us. We journey together during the week, talking and discussing the things that have taken place. We gather here on Sunday, hear the word, and receive bread that is blessed and broken. This weekly practice holds for us the promise of God. Jesus comes to us, and the Holy Spirit then sends us out. The Holy Spirit sends us back from where we came to tell what has happened, to tell how our hearts have burned within us, to tell how our hearts have been healed, have been put back together so that we might accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope. In this place, hope abounds. In this place, we do not lose heart, but rather find that which reignites our hearts. This happens because on the first Easter day in Emmaus, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. So even today, we do not lose heart. Because here in this place, we break bread that is blessed by Jesus. As we remember Jesus in the breaking of the bread, Jesus literally remembers us, putting us back together, making sense of our confusion, and helping us to see a new path, even if it might be a different path than we anticipated taking. For this, we rejoice, give thanks, and share this good news with others. Thanks be to God. Amen.